I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official spoiler warning. We know we have a lot of Eleanor of Avalon.
Yeah.
Eleanor of Avalon fans out there. So if you haven't yet gotten to episode 20 of season 3, we will be spoiling that episode maybe. So you can only really listen to the first half of this podcast. There you go. That's your official spoiler warning.
Peace. I hate the word.
And welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week my friend Zach and I get together and use John Leguizamo's filmography as an excuse to catch up, because it's really difficult for us to find time to just grab a coffee. I mean, it is when you hit your 30s, that shit gets real tricky.
I would argue that it's hard for us to find time to catch up because I'm always fucking watching John Leguizamo stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It's like
I could have caught up with you today.
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon is a great time to catch up with friends, but unfortunately, I was watching John Leguizamo's filmography. Anyway, my name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from my favourite thing to do of a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, good. Because we are recording this on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep. My favourite thing to do of a Saturday afternoon is to have a siesta. I love a Saturday afternoon siesta, should she be in a position to fit one in. I am joined, as always, by my, mate, friend? Yeah. Zach.
I hope so.
Who you might know from.
You might know my ideal Saturday thing to do on a Saturday, you know, I don't do this often, but I love doing something slow cooked.
Do you?
I love going, hey, it's Saturday, I'm up, let's have a late dinner, I'll go down to the shops and I'll, you know, do a slow cooked something. This is the time to make something.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great Saturday.
So, like, by slow clock cooked, do you mean like 2 o'clock start for a 7 p.m. finish? Or do you mean like a 10 a.m. start?
I mean, like, what it would be is something that I started at 2 and I go, fuck, I should have started this at 10.
Yep.
You know, like, I do a really great pork taco that takes like 6 hours.
Birria tacos?
No, no, it's
because they're very trendy right now.
No, no, that's the other. No, it's a different kind. It's I'm blanking on the name. It's where it's cooked in its own
fat,
and like, anyway, that's the one I do because I missed it during COVID.
Yum yum
yum yum yum. Can't really get it in Australia. Yum yum yum.
As much as I love being here with you on a Saturday afternoon, it's made even brighter by the fact that we bring in a guest with us. Oh. Look who it is. We have got this week phenomenal comedian, writer, podcaster,
hey,
and most recently, correct me if I'm wrong, but a talk show host for an online talk show called Scamp.
I've heard this.
Absolutely. We've got Ashley Appap with us today.
Hey. Hello, friends.
Congratulations on podcasting. It's not an easy game to get into.
Yeah, congratulations.
How did you get into it? How did you do it?
I knocked on the big door.
The podcast guy.
The podcast guy. Yeah. And I said, look, if Tompkins can do it, surely I can.
Yeah. And you can.
Yeah, that's what we said. Yeah. We said exactly the same thing.
He's the pod father and I'm the pod niece.
Yeah, good.
Family.
What I like most about you and guests like you is often when guests come in here, we kind of go, it's what we do here is quite niche, you know, like it's John Leguizamo filmography thing. But we didn't need to explain that to you because you have an equally niche podcast about a show that ended years ago called Pretty Little Liars.
Yes, it's the stupidest show ever made.
Mm. Well, I would argue John Leguizamarama is pretty up there.
Mm.
I think we've got a bit of a stupidest show ever made off right now.
I think we need to battle it out.
What's yours called?
It's called Call an Adult. because it's the one thing that these characters refuse to do. Great. Basically, the very basic concept. Thank you very much. The very basic concept is there's a bunch of girls getting texts from someone who's threatening them, who knows all the secrets that only their dead friend knew.
Yeah.
And why at any point do they not tell someone?
Yeah.
See, I just started rewatching Degrassi Junior High.
Oh, God.
And that is a show that has Call an Adult as the third act. They always call the adult, and it's absolutely great. I love when they call the adult.
One of my favorite things about did you then go into the season that came out in 2000?
I'm literally right on. I started a week ago. I've watched very few episodes. Okay. I'm right at the start.
If you have trouble running into finding episodes, I do have all the DVDs up to season 13.
Amazing.
Can lend them out.
It's so good.
It's so good. And one of my favorite things about it is because each episode is 45 minutes, but they're always two-parters. Have you noticed this?
Yeah. Mm.
So if you want to end on a cliffhanger, take a break or do something else, you're going to be thinking about it and you're going to come back and get that resolution.
Mm. And the resolution is call an adult.
Always.
Do you know what? Okay. I have a confession.
Yeah.
I've never watched an episode of Degrassi.
Oh, Mish.
And
oh.
I'm pretty sure the reason is, and it was crazy because everyone was watching it. Mm. And it was very, my sister's 2.5 years older than me, but 3 year levels above in school. And everyone in her year level was watching it, right? But the reason I didn't was because it was on at the same time as The Nanny. And I watched The Nanny every single week without fail.
That's a
very hard decision to make.
Yeah, Degrassi or that. But I feel like we were actually talking about this outside before about things that like divide people. But I feel like you're a Degrassi person or you're the Nanny person. And I am sitting amongst Degrassi.
I watched Junior High repeats. I don't think they clashed with
the, that's a very there was a lot of kind of person.
There was a lot of repeats of both of those shows. Like it's a fine excuse, Mish, but you just got to own. If you wanted to watch Degrassi, you could have.
You could have. Mish, I've had the DVDs this whole time.
It's very possible to access such a thing. No, but I actually would like to bring something forward to the table, if I may. It's actually, we touched on it outside just before.
Yeah.
I discovered something about Ashley outside before we began recording.
Okay.
I'm scared.
No, don't be. Hopefully you don't mind. We can beep it out if it's offensive. But Ashley's a Gilmore Girls fan.
Yes.
Right? And I was like, yuck, because I just don't get it. I don't understand people who love Gilmore Girls. However, I am a Grey's Anatomy fan.
Right.
And I think that you can be a fan of both, but there's always one you prefer, and you're either a Gilmore Girls person.
You're creating the strangest. Like, you are just randomly picking shows.
I want to divide people.
If you had said Degrassi and Heartbreak High... High School High. I just made that
High School High.
Let's Never has someone corrected themselves to the wrong thing.
High School High is a like fake teen drama about a bunch of stoners who want to make a TV show about their high school.
I think I used to call Heartbreak High High School High. I don't know why.
I think High School High is the perfect podcast name for someone who watches high school television series about coming of age kind of television
but
shows.
But I've got to get back to the fact that those are the things you compare. You compare The Nanny to Just Shoot Me. But you are saying that...
How could it Just Shoot Me?
You're saying that there is a divide between fans of Gilmore Girls and Grey's Anatomy. Yes, you're going to prefer one or the other, but I can pick any two shows ever.
Hold on. No, I think... And correct me if I'm wrong because it's only a theory I got 10
you are
minutes
wrong,
ago.
Yeah?
I haven't fucking said anything, cunt.
Where do you live on the spectrum? Sesame Street to the news.
You know, because here's the thing. Everyone prefers one over the other.
Absolutely. Me, myself, I can understand the benefits of either. You know, I love knowing ABCs. I also love knowing where the local serial killers are.
You know, what I need to know is where you fall on the Channel 7 reboot of Australian Idol versus pornos.
Yeah?
So there you go, pick!
Well, here's one. Here's one that's genuinely potentially... okay.
Yeah.
24.
Yeah.
Yep.
Versus... What's another show that has a number in the title?
Ah, that's good.
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes.
That's good. That one's good. I would say 60 Minutes because I've never watched 24. No.
But I've always filmed first.
Hold on.
Yeah, go.
I'm just saying that I came to the Gilmore Girls Grey's Anatomy thing outside 15 minutes ago, right?
Mm-hmm, mm.
And I think I would like to test my theory that people have either watched a lot of Gilmore Girls or a lot of Grey's Anatomy, but not both.
Well,
there are a lot of people that have watched neither.
I don't believe that.
You yourself have said you watched 1 to 3 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
I was fully in.
See, that's what I mean, but not Gilmore. Have you watched Gilmore Girls?
Okay, so here's my confession time. I had the biggest crush on...
Lorelai?
Is that Rory?
Rory, the daughter or the mum?
The daughter.
Rory.
Honestly,
Rory.
And this is my confession. As someone who watched all of it,
yeah,
can't stand either of them.
Well, because apparently they become awful people. They just like fall apart.
Yeah.
But I had the biggest crush on the actress, Alexis Bledel. I had not enough of a crush to find out how to pronounce her last name. But I had a huge crush on her when she was in Sin City.
I was like,
that was like, oh my God.
So your crush is more so on Alexis Bledel than it is on Rory from Gilmore Girls.
I never watched Gilmore Girls, but one time, because I was such a horny teenager, I watched, they were showing on Channel 10 like 3 in a row for some reason.
Yeah. Mm.
And I watched all 3 and it wasn't a show I cared for. I didn't engage with the story. I didn't know who anyone was, but I just had such a big crush on Rory that I watched the whole thing. So that's, I've seen like 4 episodes of Gilmore Girls.
Fair.
And how much came out? How much does 3 episodes get you?
I didn't jerk it to Gilmore Girls.
Oh, you
I
edged, reckon so you many. Edged to Gilmore Girls. Okay, all right.
Edged it to Gilmore Girls.
It's a good show to edge
this
it
to. This is the most podcast thing I've ever... Have you edged it to Gilmore wasn't, Girls? Call in. Feel like a Howard Stern of podcast.
Wasn't Mate, Chad, you're not living till you've edged it to Gilmore Girls.
Wasn't Chad Michael Murray on that show?
Yes.
Have you seen him recently?
No.
Not in the streets.
TikTok drama. Woo woo. He's selling, he's promoting phone app games, like app games on like, phones and stuff. Like, hey guys, when I'm really bored, I play Monsters, Inc. on my iPhone. This app costs $2.99, blah, blah. That's what he's doing now. And he looks hot, like, but like, you know, a skinny, I used to be hot kind of way.
He was in, I didn't watch it. This is another spectrum potentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was in Riverdale, I believe.
Really?
As like a fucked priest who is like potentially like problematic.
Probably. What's another priest. Fucked priest show?
Well, no, on the Mish spectrum, it's just anything that came out. You either like Riverdale or you like the first 2 seasons of House of Cards. You don't like both.
I'm sorry. That's all very funny, but hilarious. You two are hysterical. I think I'm correct. I don't think there is anyone who has watched a lot of both. I think you've either watched a lot of Grey's or a lot of Gilmore Girls.
No, I think there is a type of that. Those shows are kind of comparable.
Time-wise as well. There definitely could be like a person out there that was watching both.
I think you choose one. I don't think you commit to that kind of show. With that much excess, you pick one.
Okay.
Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't agree. No, I know you. No. You think I'm stupid.
I just think this is, like, the most whack thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's a crazy ultimatum.
It's just got no... It's, like not even the opposite of real. It's just... It's out of nothing. It's, like, various thoughts
but you know
streamed
what?
Together. But
what
but,
is life? But, if not something out of nothing.
Yeah
thank you. See, that's all I need.
And I... And you know what? Most people would have a preference out of those 2 shows.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But
I think someone out there is getting me right now.
Well,
they get me.
If there's a person that is, obviously they have to let you both know in some way.
Yeah.
Oh, if only we had various social media platforms that you could comment on or 5-star reviews you could give this podcast.
Yeah, that's get back to that. If you want. Give us a 5-star review.
That would be fucking mint.
And if you watch both of them, go, fuck you. Yeah. I watch both. 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars only. We've said that before. It's like if you want to criticize us, you can, but it has to be under a 5-star review.
Yeah.
That's the toll you pay.
Ashley, as you know, you are on a John Leguizamo-based podcast.
Oh, I know.
Did you know who he was before we asked you onto the pod?
I did, but I did not know him by name.
Yeah.
I knew that face, which I listened to a bunch of episodes before, mm-hmm. and I know that you've touched on this, and that's a common thing with people that come on is, mm. oh, yeah, I know that guy's face.
Mm. Where'd you know him from?
Oh, okay. This is the thing.
Mm.
I kept his IMDb up so that I could remember the thing.
I love this. I love I respect I'm so sorry your
if you're going to have to
no, I totally work respect ethic this.
And your Googling.
Mm. Also, I have a whole little a little notes app of I wrote down every quote he said in the thing that we watched, every single line that was his, so that I could keep tabs of how much he was actually in it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I have a whole conspiracy theory about this.
Oh, amazing. My God, I love this.
Oh, I can't we'll
get that's there. That's great. I can't even remember what the thing was called.
Mm-hmm.
No. So, that's great. I forgot while we were here.
I want that to be the context that when I read the blurb about it, I want that to be the context. That one of the people on this podcast wrote down every quote.
Yeah.
And then
and the other ones owned, the other one owned this podcast and didn't do shit.
You don't have you earned the right not to.
That's
right. Okay, so it was, of course, from Romeo and Juliet, Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet as Tybalt. I remember this. And in pause for some. Oh, Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge, of course.
Yeah. And he's in Carlito's Way, which just makes me think of did you either of you watch the show Love?
No.
Paul Rust's Love.
No, was it good?
It's great. He has a fictional band where they make fake theme songs for movies that already exist, and they do one for that movie.
Ah,
Carlito's Way was a real discovery of this podcast. I had not watched it, and I loved it. You loved it too.
Yeah, too. I hadn't seen it either. It was one of my mum's favourite movies. My mum's favourite John Leguizamo film was Carlito's Way. It's a beautiful film.
There are times on this podcast where we watch 25 minutes of an animated show on Disney Plus, and then there are times where we finally get around to watching Carlito's Way, and it fucking slaps.
And this episode is
I'm so sorry we didn't have you on for Carlito's.
To be fair, with something like Eleanor of Avalor, not Avalon, by the way, Eleanor
Avalon Airport. Yeah. I am the princess.
Eleanor of Avalon Airport.
I am the princess of the second biggest airport in the Melbourne region.
Hey guys, it's me, Eleanor. I'm here to get you on this small plane that won't fly out of Tullamarine. We'll be going to Cairns pretty shortly. I just got to get my fucking cat that has wings off the tarmac.
That's so funny. Eleanor of Avalon Airport. Fuck. No, but this was one of those things that I'd like, oh God, should we do the blurb?
Really? Okay.
No, well, wait, ad break.
Because once we do the blurb, we're only talking about Eleanor of Avalon.
After the break.
Okay.
We will each expose whether, don't tell me, we'll expose our dicks. No, hold on, sorry.
I got to go home to get mine.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Anyway.
We just started this thing where she's got this skeezy thing she's doing at the moment.
Zach, I'm grateful.
I'm really gross lately.
I've really been waiting for someone to apologize for Mish, so I'm glad the moment is finally here.
I think it's just like a power play on me because she knows that if I said, let's all get our dicks out, I'd get in trouble.
Absolutely.
But she can say it.
I can say it and it's cute. No, after we come back from the ad break, we will inform each other as well as the listeners as to whether we have been to Avalon Airport before.
Oh.
Whoa. Huge.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back. I have never been to Avalon Airport.
Which one is Avalon? Is that the one near
Geelong?
I have been to Avalon Airport.
Tell us your story.
It was for the first ever.
Oh my God.
It was for the first ever Sydney show I ever did with Auntie Donna. And the flights were cheaper out of Avalon.
Ah.
And then there was a point, I think, when I was about halfway to Avalon, I was like, I could have fucking driven to Sydney.
Are the planes there? I'm not going to tell my story yet because it's Zach's turn. Are the planes there only smaller planes or regular size planes? Do you remember the size of the plane?
Well, it was a normal Jetstar flight. I think it's more about just that they can go out. Like, it's more a scheduling thing.
Mm.
It was a normal airport. It, from memory, it was kind of like
be very small.
It was not dissimilar to a Cairns,
Tassie,
Hobart. Mm. Cairns before that. Cairns has since expanded, but you know what I'm saying. Like yes. It's just a normal but commercial airport.
Does it have a news agent?
Look, it was a long time ago, but I'm sure it does.
Airports love a news agent.
It's that one terminal kind of thing. You come through and there's one terminal. You can get a sausage roll. Mm. You can get some chewy and not much else.
I don't think airports legally cannot have a news agents.
Yeah. Have you been to Avalon Airport?
I have been.
Oh!
Wow.
I have not. I don't think I've flown out of Avalon, but yeah, I have.
That's been. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to check shit out.
That's crazy.
I went for my dad is an engineer and works with planes and is like one of these little freaks that from a little boy was like, all I care about is planes. And now he lives his dream, Golf King.
Oh, my God, bless him.
And every year they have the Avalon Air Show.
Oh, yes.
And so I unwillingly, against my will, went many times.
I'm sure that was fun. I thought it sounds nice.
I hated it. It was back in the time where kids didn't have earmuffs. Mm. So it was just like the loudest noises in the world. And my dad and my sister go every year. And I'm like, you have fun? I'll stick with Telemarine.
How lovely that he found what he loved and just went, I'm going to do that and it will also pay me.
Right?
Because that's the
part. The pay me.
The pay me. Yeah.
We're making to have that. Fuck all from this.
Yes. We've all chosen to do what we love at the risk of financial security and sanity.
Yeah. Imagine, like, your dad is a perfect example going, fuck, I'm really passionate about this thing that is required and pays lots. Oh, great. I can get a job and buy a house as an adult. Isn't that lovely?
I know. I'll never understand that.
I will never understand what it's like to want a normal life.
Yeah.
There's nothing normal about art.
No, we're fucked.
We are free.
We are the tastemakers. We are...
Yeah. Your dad, sure. Your dad fixes planes, but could he do a dance about one?
No.
Yeah. Not the way that you could.
Not the way I could.
People from Melbourne, from Avalon to Sydney, we take people to other worlds.
To the stars.
To the stars.
To Avalor.
To lives.
To Avalor.
To lives they have not lived, to paths they did not take. That is the power of art.
We take them to dreams that they did not know could come true.
Yeah.
We are
it's almost like we turn your heart.
we
turn your heart into a plane, and that's the difference.
When you step into our black box theatres, you are stepping through a portal that takes you through time and space to wherever you want to be.
No plane could ever take you to the emotional soaring heights of art.
Yeah.
A plane cannot take you to the catharsis of Hedda Gabler.
A plane could never fly like the seagull. Stanislavski, my king.
A plane could never explore the depth of human imagination that we see in a dream play.
Chekhov asked, what is a dream? If not your future.
Sure. You can store bags in overhead compartments, but we can act in the dollhouse. Anyway, on that happy note, I reckon it's time to talk about Eleanor of Avalor.
Can I just say one more?
Yeah.
Mm. Waiting for your flight? More like waiting for Godot.
Mm.
Oh, that was heaps that better was, than my so weird powerful. One about luggage.
Mm. This show and this episode.
Yeah. I'm so ready to talk about it.
Is it time?
Yeah, I've done a little blurb. So I again want to point out that our guest... wrote notes.
Yep.
And this is my blurb.
Oh, God.
This week we watched episode 20 of season 3 of Eleanor of Avalor on Disney Plus, which is a cartoon about a princess and her freelating blonde friend. This episode was called Giant Feet because I think there was maybe a monster in it with giant feet. I don't know. I was only half watching. You can't expect me to properly invest in everything we watch on this podcast, can you? Anyway, the princess and her blonde friend reconnect after the blonde friend went off on a boat she borrowed from the princess. John Leguizamo does the voice of like a bird or something. I don't know.
That's fucked, Zach. I'm so sorry, Ashley. I actually, when we get little ones like this, I love it because it's 24 minutes, I think, 26 minutes.
And it's
minutes.
Good for the little ones.
It is good for the little ones. But you could just
get them
just
listening
sit there
to this podcast.
And watch it. I understand it. I'm not stretched. It's not like some weird sci-fi shit. It's not a, you know, a period
like the children's
drama.
Cartoon we watched that was about the planets.
Yeah, I hated that one.
Oh God.
But no, I watched it. I immersed myself in the full Eleanor of Avalor experience.
I personally, this is the one I struggle with the absolute most. This type of like kids,
and he's done a couple of them. He did Puss in Boots as well,
which are great gigs. It's a gig I would do as an actor, but it's just this was. On the better end, it had a catchy little song. Mm.
Slapped.
Loved the song.
Loved the song. Well, and it opened with that song.
Yeah.
It was basically, it opened with the blonde chick riding to the princess bitch and was just like, I'm on a trip, some shit. I don't know. I don't remember how it went. But it was really, it was like, this is a catchier song.
Yeah, it was like a good song. It was like, don't blow your best stuff, but you're a really good writer with a good half day to smash out something good.
Yeah, a lovely duet. They had their alternating lines that they kept coming back to.
Yeah.
I thought it was lovely.
But they didn't go back to rewrite it. There were a couple of, you know what I'm saying?
100%, 100%.
Definitely first draft.
First draft, there was like not that, the lyrics kind of, it was good.
It was good. I would say, if anything, even though the song was first draft, the lyrics of the song a thousand times better than the actual script itself of the episode.
That's fair.
I don't want
to. No, I think that's fair.
I engage with the song. The song picked me up. The script lost me.
The song picked you up. The script let you down.
Well, see, I would argue that maybe there was, this was the first draft. No one involved in the song making spent more than half a day. I would argue that no one in the process of making this entire episode spent more than half a day on it. It felt very like we've done this before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Although, like, animation end to end is at least 6 months.
Okay, you know what I mean.
I'm being a dick.
Yeah, you are being a little dick.
I'm just playing.
No, had you heard of this show before?
I think so. I think I have a 4-year-old nephew.
Ah.
I don't think he watches it, but I'm sure it's scrolled past upon, you know, getting what he does want to watch.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You'd seen it?
Yeah, I watched every episode. I love this show.
Zach wrote for it.
I'd never
Big
seen Pete's it.
Big Pete's the monster, I think, that they had to get.
Well, I'd never seen it. I knew nothing about it. And I, like, since Bloodline-O-Rama, which is a thing we did recently where we watched the whole of the second season of a show because he wasn't in the first season, it was a nightmare because we'd never seen anything in the first season. It was a murder mystery. So in the second season, they were talking about a bunch of shit that we just didn't know.
But it wasn't a murder mystery. The show was about the people who did it were, like, afraid of getting caught.
Mm.
But we had no idea who did it.
Because it was exposed at the end of season one.
So it was a murder mystery to you.
To us, it was a murder mystery.
Yeah, yeah. And because, and you would expect that the start of a new season, they'd be like previously on. But it didn't
but
give
remember,
you one of those.
But remember, we didn't watch the first two episodes. That was the other thing, because he came in episode 3.
That's amazing.
So we just had no fucking idea.
It was hell. It was awful. And I was like, this is better not be like that. But I think I followed what was happening in Eleanor of Avalor.
Yeah, I think they kind of designed. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was happening was exactly what I think you said, Zach, which is she has this Eleanor has this friend. Her friend goes away. Her friend comes back. There's evil.
Mm.
What I think's going on underneath.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
The subtext of this to me.
I love this.
Is that this relationship is like a sugar daddy, Hugh Hefner situation.
The freeloading blondie.
Because they are definitely in love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you reckon it's a bit gay?
Oh, I reckon it's very gay.
Did you get gay vibes?
I got gay vibes. But then I was like mad at myself because I was like, can't two girls just be friends?
Not when they're that hot. They all fuck.
They were hot.
Not when they're that hot they and not hot. When in their duet they say, I miss crying in your arms.
That's gay.
That's gay. That's pretty gay.
I miss crying in your arms. That's gay.
Oh, and there was also that other line in the song that was like, oh, I'm super gay. And you're also gay.
Well, that's gay.
No, that's also gay.
Yeah, no, I definitely got gay vibes. They definitely had...
I never once picked up gay vibes.
Because she was like, I got to go off. I got to discover. I've got to, like, live for my... You're absolutely... She's like, I got to go sail the 17 seas because it's a fantasy. And she's like, I've got to go sail the 17 seas. And she was like, all right, honey, but I'll buy you a boat. I'll buy you the boat to do it.
It really felt, because then the like final act of the episode is basically, might be skipping ahead, but like
it's... Oh, it's fine.
The blonde one fucks up in some way and then she's like, I was doing it because I needed money for something. She's like, baby, why didn't you just ask me for the money? I'll give you the money. And she's like, oh, you already gave me a boat, babe. And then she's like, but money is no object for me. Take baby. The money. And then she's like... okay, but if I can come back. And then the Hugh Hefner one was like, you can come back, but actually someone's already taken your spot. Okay, baby, you leave me, you mess up, you lose your spot.
Yeah.
It was really that house bunny that left Hugh Hefner, then came back and then lost all of her privileges to leave ever again.
Oh, that's so funny.
No, I felt that absolutely. Yeah, there was real... The fact that they talked about money was very funny.
Like, yeah, that's the part. That's the thing about this episode that really fucked me, because it was like they very openly. She's like, I have no money. Like, I am so poor. She's like, well, you should probably have asked for some help. She's like, I feel uncomfortable doing that. That's weird for me to ask for financial help. I'm like, oh my God, bitch, same. I was like, oh, like that's why, like when we watched Puss in Boots, I was like, I can't relate to this shit. It's so young. Like, this is aimed at 3-year-olds. And I would argue that Eleanor of Avalor is aimed at that 3 to 8, right? Young children.
That storyline, though, is really for
35-year-olds. For 35-year-olds, 100%. I was like, oh my God, bitch. I've had similar conversations with friends where I was just like, no, I really like baby showers, right? Fucking, all my friends are having babies and everyone's like, let's put in for a gift. I'm like, I will give $50. And someone's like, why don't we do 100 each? I'm like, I can't do that. I am an artist, bitch. Like, I can't, $50 is what I can do. People are like, babe, I'll put in for you. And I'm like, I feel uncomfortable. It was literally like someone had filmed my life and put it on Eleanor of Avalor. It's like, oh, I wish I could have stayed out there. I have no money. It's like, honey, babe, I'll pay for you. No, I feel weird about it. I got it. I fucking got it.
But do you know what I think it was? Yeah. More than them subtly and cleverly doing something, it felt really like we're at episode 20 of season 3.
Yes.
It felt more like you were on the writing staff and you were just like, I don't know, maybe something about how she feels bad about like taking money from it.
Money.
It did very much feel, I had that vibe of 3 seasons deep of a show. And it's like, oh, fuck, we just need a quick, it's a fucking 20-minute storyline. Like, give us something. I'm fine. Money? Yeah. Money.
Is this a little bit like Daddy and his twink? I don't care.
It's not enough.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Or there was one person in the writer's room, everyone was like, okay, guys, so how about we put them in like a fun, magical situation where they have to learn this thing and they escape some fun clue? And someone there who's like sweating and like shaking was like, oh, we could make it about how one of them needs money from the other one because they're too afraid to ask for money from the other one. What about that? Like, it was either that they were like, we're out of ideas, let's use real things, whatever. Yeah. Or someone who was like pretending it wasn't a real thing who absolutely is like in a pimp. And like,
you know, it's, I got this little twink that keeps trying to, and I'm like, baby, you could have just taken my cash, all right? I got 3 seasons of Eleanor of Avalor going on, you know?
It'd be so funny if the next one is just about like changing medication or something like that. It's like, baby, I'm sorry, I know that I didn't clean up the palace today. It's just, I'm having a medication holiday. It's just having 2 days off while I switch from Dexys to something else. Oh, it's all right, honey. I get it. Like, we're all stressed. And I'm so glad you got that diagnosis.
I am really big on this idea, though, because in a Disney cartoon, you usually get, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they never really get into the depths of the fact that these characters are royals. Mm. But I love that this is like, this is what the royals deal with. They would deal with this with all of their, like, middle-class lovers. Like,
absolutely.
So funny. That relationship between the two of them, now that you're saying it's a bit gay, totally get it. But I also think it's just such a relatable relationship. That being said, every other character in this was very weird.
So weird.
Weird. John Leguizamo played a bat.
A bat. It was a bat. Sparkly bat.
Yeah. It was like such a pretty bat. Also kind of gay. So this show is a little bit gay.
All right.
he played this bat that could basically just do anything you wanted it to do. That was its magical powers. It's like, oh, I need to get into this building. All right, I'll will it to be so. Just carry that bat with you everywhere. Why is that bat only with you one time in three seasons?
Do you think that's representative of casting agents with John himself being like, he can do anything?
Yeah.
Let's make him a bat that can do anything.
Potentially. You know? I don't know. Actually, I have a theory. No, I don't have a theory because it's too late, but I have a fun fact about this show in relation to John Leguizamo.
What do you mean it's too late?
Because, so this was 2016, I believe.
Right.
But here's a fun fact for John Leguizamo fans out there. The voice of the fuck's her name, Eleanor of Avalor or whatever, it is an actress whose name I am currently looking up. I'm so sorry. I was not properly prepared. That's not the right spot. Here we come.
Is this the fun fact?
Yep. Okay, so it's by someone, her name is Carrero, right? Amy Carrero. Amy Carrero played the assistant in the menu that's having dinner with John.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen the menu?
Okay, good.
No.
Oh, you simply must. Okay. It's a very small cast, and John Leguizamo is having a bougie dinner with his assistant, and his assistant is Amy Carrero, who is the voice of Eleanor.
Wow.
So I was
full
like,
circle.
It's full circle. So I was like, oh, maybe he just kind of stepped in to do an episode of this show
but
one day.
It's too late.
But it's too late. So I don't know why. Like, it is one of those weird jobs of like, John, why did, like, it would have been.
I'll tell you what I reckon.
Yeah, please.
I have a full
we
theory.
Do this often with like the small jobs
we love
he gets.
A theory
like,
oh on the small job. Mm. I think they had this small bat part. Is the bat, yep. Was the bat in tech? Because I kind of dipped out in the middle. The bat was integral to the plot?
Yes, but also really, it was like, oh, and there's this bat that everyone knows, but it's not in any other episode.
Because I was, yeah. I was confused by the bat.
I'm guessing they wrote it in because they needed some magical way to get in and out of places and do certain things.
So they wrote a fun bat character.
Yeah.
And then I think they
were
like.
It also says very little. I know you wrote down what they says. Doesn't say much.
Well, we'll get to this conspiracy theory, which I'm very excited about. My theory is they wrote this fun bat character and then the casting agent, they were like, oh, who can we get? You know, just anyone good or jobbing actor. Then the casting agent was like, you know, I think John might be free. And they're like, who? And they're like, John Leguizamo. And they're like, really? Would he do a bat? And he's like, I think he would. I know him. I reckon he'd do the bat. I think it'd be fun. Mm. And she called him almost directly.
Mm.
She's like, John, would you be up for it? And he's like, I'll go through my agent, but yeah, it sounds fun. I think it was that kind of situation.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like, I think John would be up. I think, you know who I think would be good for this? John Leguizamo. I'll see if he's free.
How much?
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. How much do you think he would have got for this?
Yeah, because if we had gotten this job, it's about a $600 job because it's a day.
Yeah.
It's a day's work. So it's about $600.
No, how much would he have gotten for it? I think he would have gotten. I think he would have gotten. Oh, God, that's tough.
That's because that was what interested me the most because it's like he wouldn't have done it for $500. I would have. I'd have done it for free. But, like, he wouldn't have done it $500. But are they really going to give out, like, what, 20 grand for this role in this show? But then maybe I'm like, maybe it's 10. But even that feels excessive for this show. But also, what is John Leguizamo doing for less than that?
I reckon maybe 5 grand.
I reckon it could be your theory. Or he has a niece or second cousin's kid that loves this show and keep talking about it. He got the offer to do it and he's like, I'll just do it.
I don't think
my relative would be happy to hear my voice on it.
I think it was an amount of money that I would go, whoa. You know, like if I was offered that amount of money, I would be like, yes. But I think it was he didn't do it for the money. So I think it's in the 5,000 range. That's my guess because 5,000 for me feels like if I got offered $5,000 to do a job like that, I'd be like, oh,
and that is like,
oh my God, yes,
mummy.
That's about 3 hours in a studio.
Yeah,
whereas it's not much.
I reckon they pulled together five grand for him, And I reckon he said yes to it. And then the agent was like, they can offer you $5,000. He was like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that's how he approached it. That's my theory.
Yeah.
I just counted. He has 8 lines of dialogue.
Okay.
Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Can we get onto your conspiracy theory, please?
My conspiracy theory, actually, now I hope I don't disappoint, was the sugar daddy situation. Oh, yeah. That's my big conspiracy theory.
I love that. I love that theory. But what does that have to do with him saying 8 lines?
It has nothing. Okay. I just wanted to write them down because I actually watched the episode twice.
Wow.
Oh, come on every week, actually.
This is right. You can be like our little adjudicator.
Yeah.
You can sit at the back and just like come in if we
feed
don't
us
know.
Facts.
Hey, what happened? What happened in the middle?
Why did no one talk about that weird guy in the background that was touching himself?
What was that? What? Actually,
hey.
What was the bat for?
I like hack into the mainframe. My eyes were back in my head. I know everything.
Did you have any particular lines that you loved?
Yeah. Yes. My favorite one was him just so much exposition in this show. So much. That made it easy to watch when you have no idea what the show is. And this is something I think kids' shows don't do well, is when kids' shows are serialized, so you are like learning more about the story as it's continuing to go along, having to jump in and understand what's going on is hard. This episode was easy for us all to take in because it was so much exposition. At one point, he just says, well, you see these wings glowing? That means someone's using magic to locate us. Great job of him just telling us what's what.
Well, that's just a brilliant little moment in a writer's room going, well, she needs to figure out where they are. Okay, well, the bat can say it from wings glowing.
Exactly.
Okay.
My favorite line was, can't keep a good bat down. Am I right or am I right?
I loved that line
too. Then he turns around and goes, hey, where'd everybody go?
That's and comedy. I reckon, and that's comedy. I reckon he improved at least one of those bits.
Yeah, John absolutely famously improvs his voiceover stuff. And also, worth noting here, very, very quickly for all of the big voiceover John Leguizamo fans, a different voice again. This wasn't Bruno. This wasn't Sid. This was a different kind of voice that
we got.
He's
good at voiceovers.
He's got a voice work. I didn't, however, recognize anybody else in the cast.
I recognize Chris Parnell is in it.
Chris Parnell
is one of the fucking cats with wings.
Did he sound like Chris Parnell?
Yeah, yes. And that's...
I really dipped out in the middle.
Dr. Leo Spaceman from 30 Rock.
Yeah, Spaceman. That's the...
I will say that the giant, the actual giant, was voiced by a wrestler. Wrestler.
There was like a New Zealand lady.
Okay, I've written here that I was personally offended by the egregious Australian and or New Zealand accent.
Was it fake?
It sounded fake.
Thought it was, was it set in Australia?
It said in Avalor.
But no, where had she sailed to? Because she was getting letters from Avalor to somewhere
else. She wasn't in Australia.
Now let's say she
was. We're talking about that woman who was selling her crackers.
Because I thought it was an Australian lady doing a different accent.
I think it was a fake Australian accent.
Wait, so in Zach's head, Avalor and Australia exist in the same universe?
That's why I was confused for a
second. So where's Avalor?
Where's Avalor? Avalon Airport.
Where's Avalor?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, it's not. I'm confused at a level that I can't dig myself out of this hole, guys.
She basically, she docks it as another land and she gets out and the woman running the shop has a really offensive Australian but also kind of New Zealand accent.
This is what I was saying is that I thought what was happening was that it was like a New Zealand person trying to do a vaguely British accent. But I actually, now that I hear this, I think you're absolutely right.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I got confused because I was like, you're so confident. Was it said in Australia? I had like a moment where I was like, oh, is that why? But no. But no, absolutely. It was a strange accent.
It was strange.
I thought it was odd.
And I would also just like to say that, which I loved, the very first piece of dialogue is the blonde girl saying, land ho. And I was like, absolutely. Who's the land ho? Are we going to meet them?
Very good, Ashley.
Thank you very much.
Do we have any final thoughts on Eleanor of Avalor.
Say it really fast 3 times.
Eleanor of Avalor. I'm struggling a lot with the name.
We've all done theatre.
It's because it's Eleanor of Eleanor. Like, it's not Eleanor of Eleanor.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with the fact that it's very similar but different.
I just said that we've all Eleanor done theatre and I just remembered that I saw you in a show at Malthouse and I've never actually spoken to you about it and it was so good and you were fabulous in it, by the way.
That was my double.
No, it wasn't. It was you. You fucking.
What?
No, but I haven't actually. Thank you were really good in that.
That's
like
fine.
Really,
that's
really
nice.
Good. And we should talk about it. Anyway, so.
Not now, though, because this is time for John. This is not about
I'm
me.
I'm so sorry. I just remembered. I was like, oh my God, I never. I think I messaged you, but I've never actually spoken to you about it. Anyway.
That's lovely. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
You can talk about it.
No, that's fine. We'll talk about it after.
It's fine.
She was phenomenal. I saw a show at Malthouse written by a friend of all of ours, Alistair.
King.
Yeah. Sorry.
Alistair Baldwin. King.
Yep.
Golf King.
Go off King, and you were in it, and I was just like, oh my God, it's Ashley, and I was just like, ah, and you were so good, and the it was such a good show. It was such a good show.
I missed it.
It was really, really beautiful.
I missed it.
Anyway, my final thoughts are, I of all of the kids' shows, and I'm not talking about the family-friendly shows, I'm talking about the kids' shows he's done, mm-hmm. I thought this was the most enjoyable for me, and that's including Ice Age, but I don't think I will ever watch an episode again.
He's not in any other ones?
Nope.
No, I've got no final thoughts.
I have a couple.
Yeah, great.
Is the show still being made?
No.
Do we know? Okay, well, they had a missed opportunity to bring him back, and I think maybe that's why. At the very end of the episode, basically, the bat disappears, and they're like, oh, well, I reckon that, another conspiracy theory forming right before our very eyes.
Yeah,
if, however, he got onto that, if there was some relationship that brought him to do this job.
Yeah.
They were like, great, so we'll have this open-ended ending so you can come back. Something horrible has gone on with whoever got him in this job. They no longer speak. Because why would he not come back if they had an open-ended situation?
Yeah.
He got busy, signed a contract that was bigger, and was just like, I'm not coming back. And they're like, that's all right.
Or that. Or he was like, okay, well, that was...
A bust.
That was not it.
That was not it. I think that John would struggle to remember he did this. That's what I think. I think I'm on board for both of you. I think he was like, Eleanor of Avalor. Oh, wait, that's the one that my nieces really like or my friend's daughter's obsessed with. Maybe she can come to set that day and meet Eleanor.
That's cute. But
also that it was like, and the director's just offered because I know her. And
I really think it's someone from Ice Age was involved in it or something.
Oh, maybe.
Like it was just that he knows the person.
Yeah, maybe.
It's got much more that vibe.
That's a very good point. I definitely think we're all on board about that. Why ever he did it, it wasn't for the money.
But what we can all agree on is that it was a bit gay.
I've told you, very gay.
It was incredibly gay.
And I say, go girls, get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go girl, get it.
I love that.
Get your sugar mama.
Now, Ash, as you may know, if you've listened to us before, we do a rating system at the end of every episode called Leguistamos. We are not rating what we feel about this episode out of five.
I will be.
No, it's for how Leguizamo-y it is. So how much of an imprint Leguizamo made on this film. So how Leguizamo-y the feeling is. For example, Romeo and Juliet, that's five Leguistamos. Speed, he's not in it, but that's two Leguistamos. I am going to give this two Leguistamos. I don't think...
Equal with Speed.
Equal. If not, maybe 1.5, but that's what I gave the counsellor, so I don't feel comfortable giving it 1.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 2. I thought he did a great job. I thought that the voice work was good. The thing that gives it 2 and not 1.5 is that when I heard it, I was like, that's some John shit. Like, because do you know what I mean? Like, he put his mark on it by going, I'm John Leguizamo, and I'm going to do this little glittery bat cunt. And he smashed. So for that, I'm giving it 2. But otherwise, I didn't feel a huge amount of Leguizamo within this episode. Ashley.
Yeah, I think that's a fair rating. Okay, I need to look at this in two parts. Because without the character and his input, the actual episode would have fallen apart.
Hey, great
right?
point.
He's there to bring the story along, which boosts his rating up. But as we pointed out, he had 8 or 9 lines of dialogue. They really could have done more with him, I think. You know, the raw talent that is bringing that voice. I'm going to give it 2.2 stars.
Okay,
is that all right? Sorry, Leguistamos. How dare I?
I think we might change the rules at some point, and you'll be the only one that ever gave it 2.2. You know what I mean? Like, you know how there's like swimming records that will always be like because we will convene in future, but right now there's no rule against 2.2.
Don't change the score because one day when someone brings their topic onto like one of those like. Game shows where you have special topics and their special topic is Leguizamarama, someone will ask who gave Eleanor
who was the only person
to give a 2.2 star and they'll be like, that was Ashley Appap, bitch.
That's going
to
be the most important
moment. And they'll say it like that. They'll go, Ashley Appap, bitch.
What about you, Zach Leguistamo's?
Oh, wow. So here's my theory. Here's my thoughts. Is what is more Leguizamo-y than a half day of recording for something he didn't need to do?
Preach, bitch. I hear that.
And that's why I'm giving it.
Don't. Zach, don't fuck around. Don't fuck with our system.
Listen to your heart.
I'm giving it 4 Leguistamos.
Okay, that is so mental.
It's the most Leguizamo episode 20. Yeah. Season 3.
Giant
eight lines of dialogue.
8 lines.
That's just the motherfucker just going, yeah.
Some people say,
I hear what you're saying.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, Ashley, you are about to do a show.
Allegedly.
Allegedly? What's it called?
It's called Restless.
It's called Allegedly.
Honestly, that would have been a great name.
That would have been a really good name.
Sorry, guys. I got to go call the comedy festival stuff and change something.
Immediately change it. No, so you're doing Restless. Where are you taking it?
Restless.
Yes.
I thought it was called The Wrestler for a second. I was like, oh, man, Darren Aronofsky bet you to the punch.
No, actually, it's me exposing that I wrote that. He stole it from me. I'm coming for it.
That's what the show's about. I'm coming for that.
Restless.
And I'm using the Melbourne International Comedy Festival as my platform. I'm gonna get him. No, it's called Restless. I'm doing 3 work in progress shows in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. I think the 5th, 7th, and 9th of March. So if you're in Adelaide, come to fucking those. It's got a different name. It's called Out of Body Experience, I think, because it might not be the same. Mm. Who knows? Yeah. But comedy festival doing my first ever hour of just stand-up as opposed to all the other weird little things that I
You're doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that you'll be so smashed. Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm filming a live stream that will be like a taping with a live studio audience here at our beloved Stupid Old Studios on the 2nd of April.
Beautiful.
So if anyone likes to be part of history, they should come to that.
And 100%, if you've not ever checked out something that Ashley Appap has done, please do. She's so good. You're so good.
Thank you, freaky
good. Like, it's scary. And, like, yeah, award nominated. But you're always churning stuff out and, like, you're making really, really beautiful stuff. And I think that everyone should go and check out what you're doing because it's wacky and zany, but, like, just, like, so sweet. And I love it.
Thank you. That's
wacky
lovely.
Wacky and zany but sweet. That's wacky, really nice.
And you know what? I think that could be said about both of you too. Wacky and zany but sweet.
Yeah. I'm actually more of an arsehole.
Yeah, Zach's actually a big piece of shit. Tom, what should Tom take us away with?
I would love to hear Tom freestyling.
Freestyle a song, Tom, about two lovers that have been departed by ship, but for a Disney show.
Thanks, Tom.
Love you, Tom.
I don't really understand what Mish meant. Something about departing by ship. I haven't seen Eleanor of Elvador, so I don't really get what's going on, but it sounds like there was someone who went overseas on a ship, and it was really sad because they were apart. It's really not cool when you're apart from your loved ones. This is cool. I love doing this for Mission Zach. My favourite thing to do is to freestyle rap, especially when it's for Mission Zach. Is this enough? Do you think this is enough? Hopefully by now we've faded out so you guys can't hear this. If you can, bye-bye everybody.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.